Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 this morning. We're going to finish up the 14th chapter and jump into chapter 15. Lesson 44 we looked at last Sunday, living life wisely is the result of seeking wisdom with a right spirit. You got to have the right spirit. The Bible says in chapter 14, verse 6, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that hath that understandeth. That was lesson 44. Lesson 45 came out of two verses in chapter 14, verses 17 and 29. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And verse 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Living life wisely involves learning to suppress impulsive anger. Impulsive anger. Mind must rule over passion. The mind must rule the heart, okay? The facts must be carefully gathered and heard, and be sure to keep a clean heart, because a lot of times impulsive anger is nothing more than the result of unconfessed sin or the buildup of guilt in your own heart, and you strike out at somebody in impulsive anger. So keep your own heart free of that. Keep your sins confessed. Keep your heart and attitude, spirit right, and learn to suppress impulsive anger. A soft answer. Verse 29, he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Okay, chapter number 14. I'm still in 14. I'm sorry, I had you in 15. I'm in verse 33 now. One more lesson out of chapter 14. Wisdom, I like this lesson right here. I had to learn this the hard way. That's the way I've learned most of these principles on wisdom. Amen. He says here, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Lesson 46. It's hard to believe we're that far along in this thing. Living life wisely means I seldom give unsought advice. You seldom give unsought advice. The wise man said, wisdom rests in the heart of him that has good understanding. Do you know someone who is quick to give advice even when it is not requested? You know somebody like that? Do you know someone who is always advising everybody else how to get along in life when it's not requested? Well, the Bible makes it very clear that that kind of person is acting foolishly. That is a foolish way to live. A wise man has wisdom in his heart, and if it comes out, it has to be extracted. It has to be sought after. It has to be searched for. You see, I had to learn this. I'm a very different person, or I need to be a very different person in private, in day-to-day life, than I am in the pulpit on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night when it comes to dealing with the truth and wisdom of God. In the pulpit as a preacher, I have a divine mandate and responsibility to proclaim wisdom and truth. I have a responsibility to preach it, whether people receive it or reject it, whether they ask for it or not. I have a responsibility to the whole counsel of God to proclaim wisdom and truth. That's as a preacher of the gospel, okay? I have that responsibility to herald truth, to teach wisdom. But outside of the pulpit, as an individual, as a husband, as a father, okay? If someone needs wisdom or help, they will have to extract it from me. They're going to have to come and ask for it. You know, I may see something, I may notice something, and know that I can help. I may feel like I could benefit that person with some experience that I've had in life. But if it is not sought after, if it is not requested, if it's not wanted, it will be rejected and maybe resented. One thing I had to learn, unsought advice is seldom followed and usually resented. Unsought advice is seldom followed and usually resented. Rare is the person who doesn't seek advice. You can bring them in, sit them down, give advice, and they'll not only take it, they won't resent it. The normal procedure is when you give unsought advice, you're foolish. Okay? Now, how does this apply to everybody here? As parents, because you're not preachers, obviously, as parents, you have a mandate from God to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And by the way, don't forget that next Sunday, Brother Caleb's class is taking a turn in its purpose, and we may have some folks coming from that class into here. We may have some folks from this class going over there because I'm going to concentrate on family, children, marriage. I'm going to concentrate on the family in this class the rest of the way, okay? And if you want to stay in here, you're welcome to. If you want to, like a Bible doctrines type or, you know, Bible topics type lesson, that's what his class will be for, okay? We'll stay on the family in here. So there may be some flip-flopping, okay? And as a parent, you have a responsibility to bring your child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You got an elementary school child or a teenager, it is your responsibility to give them wisdom, to teach them, like it's my responsibility from that pulpit down there to teach wisdom and knowledge to this church. It's your responsibility as dad and mom to bring those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay, you don't wait till they ask for it. Okay? You start very early giving wisdom, okay? Unsought wisdom. All right, but now wait a minute. When they leave your home, and when they take a spouse, it then becomes time for you to refrain from giving unsought advice. And that is hard to do. And I haven't always been successful, have I? It's hard to do. Zip your lip, and because if it's not requested, if it's not sought after, if it's not wanted, it won't be followed, and it could put a wedge, especially between the daughter-in-law or the son-in-law, if that spouse feels like the other person's parents are interfering. Okay, you can't give unsought advice. Some of you are smiling. You must have been through that already with your parents, huh? And your in-laws, okay? It happens, okay? So take a lesson here, all right? You can't give. Look, if you feel like you must give some advice or warning or word of wisdom, if you just feel compelled to do it, realize you're taking a risk. And if it backfires, don't get mad. You took the risk. You, so to speak, rolled the dice. I hate to use that word, but you took a gamble. Same thing. Yeah. I mean, you took a chance. Same thing. Whatever, you know. You're taking a risk. You need to realize that. Yeah, and I think I did that not too long ago. I think I sat down with him at the table and I said, look, you haven't asked me, and you may resent this, you may reject it, you may not follow it, but I feel compelled to say a word here about something. And I think it went over pretty good that time. But there are times when it doesn't. Okay? You got to learn that. The Bible says wisdom rests in the heart. What is it? I lost my verse here. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. Okay? So if it's extracted, you know, if you sit down with if you call a married child on the phone someday and probably don't have, I don't think we have any of that going on here right now, right? No, not yet. But, you know, if you call a married child on the phone someday and give some advice, you better realize that you're taking a risk. If they get upset, don't get mad back. You gambled and lost. Okay? So be very careful about that. All right? Be very careful about that. I have to approach it differently as pastor and person. That doesn't sound right, but you know what I'm talking about. In the pulpit and away from the pulpit. I have to approach it differently. Okay? Up there, I have all the authority of this book. Stand up there, stomp my feet. Clap my hands together, raise my voice, and say, thus saith the Lord. Yeah. But outside that pulpit, I have to go by the principles of this book here too. Okay? So, be careful about that. Watch out for unsought advice. It's seldom followed, usually resented. Have I never done that in 15, 16 years of pastoring? I've done it. But I've always said to the person, I'm going to give you some unsought advice. You may not take it, and you may get mad at me, but I feel compelled to do it. There are those times, but they should be rare. Okay? Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. Okay, chapter 15. Let's get into lesson 47 this morning. One that we probably all can use. Verse number 1, how can you pass it by? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. When we get to about 16 and a half, we got to be at lesson 50, and we'll be perfect, right, as we go down through here. We're looking for 100 lessons on wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Living life wisely involves using gentleness as a deterrent to wrath. Living life wisely involves using gentleness as a deterrent to wrath. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. Okay? Here it is. There's not a whole lot more you need to say than that right there. That says it all for itself. But I'll go ahead and say a few things anyway. Okay? There is a way to deter anger from getting out of control and turning into a full-fledged, knock-down, drag-out fight. There's a way to do it. There's a way to curb a spouse's anger. There's a way to stop a meltdown. There's a way to take the fight right out of somebody. There's a way to do it. That way is the wise way of using gentleness in answering someone who is angry. Let me give you two examples in the Old Testament. One good, one bad. Look at Judges. Judges chapter 8. We'll get back to Proverbs in just a second. Look at Judges chapter 8. Give you two examples involving the Ephraimites. Ephraimites were a kind of a tempestuous group of people. They were often kind of volatile in their temperament, man, always getting excited about something. One person handled it well, the other person didn't. And you'll see what the results here. Look at chapter 8, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto... It's bad when you're in Joshua, and I told all of you to be... Did I tell you to be in Judges? Yeah. All right, here we go. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? Gideon called all the nation of Israel together, went to fight against the Midianites, and for some reason the children of Ephraim got overlooked. So now they're upset. Remember, they're tempestuous type people, kind of a volatile people, okay? Why didn't you call us? Look what the Bible says in verse number 8, verse number 1. And they did chide with him sharply. I mean, they were angry. They were upset, okay? He said unto them, boy, he took the vinegar right out of them. He says, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? He said, whoa. He said, what are you upset about? He said, I can't compare to what you guys have done. You guys knocked off the kings. What am I in comparison of you? So what if you didn't get called to this battle, man? You guys are warriors. You guys are valiant. You guys did something that none of us ever did. Look at the result at the end of verse 3. Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. Here's a man of wisdom. Here's a man who knows how to deter anger. He used some gentle words. He used some wise words. They came at him all upset. The Bible says they chided with him sharply. And in less than, 15 seconds? How long does it take for Gideon to say the words in verses 2 and 3? In less than 15 seconds, all the vinegar had been taken out of them. The ammunition had been taken out of the gun. They were done. They were content. Man, what in the world? That works so good. Look at chapter 12. Chapter 12, same book, Judges chapter 12 and verse 1. Notice here, and the men of Ephraim, here they came, gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah. Here's Jephthah now. Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon? Didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. I would suggest they're angry. You don't go burning down people's houses with fire just because you're happy. Okay? And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? Well, he didn't answer like Gideon answered, did he? Look at verse 4. Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. They had a big war. These are people that are brothers. These are people that are people of Israel. They're related to each other. Now they're having a great big fight. Folks are dying. Left and right. Because Jephthah did not answer with any kind of wisdom. Their anger could have been deterred. The wrath could have been, the vinegar could have been taken right out of them. The bullet could have been taken out of the gun. If Jephthah would just have followed the same principle Gideon followed, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Go back to Proverbs chapter 15. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Let me ask you a question. Why do couples argue? Because they choose to. Because they want to. That's why. Why do husbands and wives fight? Because somebody's not following the principle here in chapter 15, verse 1. The reason most couples cannot resolve a disagreement maturely is because one or both fails to maintain the control of the tone of voice, the choice of words, or the level of passion. We can't have a discussion. We have arguments. Because we don't control our passion. The tone of our voice gets sharp. Our anger rises. The choice of words is foolish. And that's truth. Each person is attempting to reason with the other. Hear what somebody said. Reason is better spoken with meekness than passion. Reason is better spoken with meekness than passion. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Jesus reasoned with him. They had a discussion. They didn't have an argument, didn't turn into a debate. It was a reasonable discussion. Hard arguments are better debated using soft words, folks. Control your words. Control the tone of your voice. Control the level of your passion. A soft answer turneth away wrath. A husband and a wife. We have discussions at work. We have disagreements on the job. They have to be resolved. And they are when mature people get together, sit around a table, cup of coffee, and talk through it. We don't apply the same principles to marriage. We scream, we fight, we holler. We can't resolve anything because it always ends up in an argument. Unresolved. Voices raised, people mad. Okay? Let me give you a little thing here. When attempting to resolve a disagreement or argument, try the following. Let one person fully state their side without interruption from the other. We can't let our spouse even tell their side without interrupting 30 times. Let one spouse decide who goes first. Set a time limit. Put a timer on the table. Bing! You know. Whatever you got to do. Resolve the thing like mature adults. Let the one person fully state their side without interruption from the other. Then the other person has equal time to state their side without interruption. Talking. Ta-da, 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 ta-da. You done? You don't have to say that. You done? You done? Okay. You done? You know, this is where we live, right? The points of controversy or disagreement then need to be discussed. Husband's presented his side without interruption. Wife's presented her side without interruption. You see where the points of controversy are? Okay, you know what? We're in agreement on 80% of this. And most time that's true, folks. Most time it's a very small percentage of the problem that you're in disagreement on, and you argue, fight, and scream over the small percent that you're disagreement on, and overlook the 90% that you're in agreement on. So identify the point of controversy. Well, honey, this is it. You and I see eye to eye on this, and we see eye to eye on this. But this one little thing right here, we don't see eye to eye on. Now, let's talk about that. If at any time one or both begin to raise the voice, take a time out for the purpose of cooling off, like they do at kinder care. Time out. You say, that's childish. Well, then, what's better, screaming, yelling, stomping off, throwing stuff around the house? Don't tell me that don't happen. It may not happen in this room, but I've had 16 years in the same church, folks. A lot goes on you never hear. It's insanity. Between a man and a woman supposed to love each other. I point the finger at you. I got three pointing back at me. Okay? If at any time one or both begin to raise the voice, take a time out. Say, okay, you know what? This is getting out of control. Let's just call it off for a little bit. Wife goes, does something. Husband goes, do something. Okay. Resume the discussion with lowered volume, gentle tones. Talk your way through it. I'm going to tell you something. One time, if you could one time successfully resolve an argument, a disagreement, without fighting, one time, you'll love it. You'll love it. It'll be sweet. Instead of leaving the table or leaving the bed in anger and fury, there'll be a sweetness there. You just get it done one time. Arguments can be resolved if the people involved desire to have them resolved. I visited a couple one time here. Was actually called to the house. I don't like that. I don't like to play mediator. I don't like to play arbitrator. But every once in a while I get stuck in that. And I listened to all of it. And I told them. I said, you know why you guys are arguing? Because you want to. And you know how long it's going to go on? As long as you want it to go on. But as soon as one of you decides it needs to stop, it'll stop. And I left. I left. That's the truth. We're reasonable. We should be reasonable, mature adults. God did not waste space in His book. He put this there for a reason. Okay? It's in there for a purpose. It's not in there for me to just read and say, boy, that's good. It's in there for me to practice. A soft answer turneth away wrath. You get a husband and a wife living this principle, rare are the arguments. Usually it's one or the other upset, and if the other one is not, can just refrain from getting angry. Refrain from responding angry. That's the sad part about it. There's a happy way to live. There's a happy life if it's just going by God's principles. What does that Bible say in chapter 3? Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. No wonder. No wonder. Okay?